Well, I give you three guesses on what the theme for today is. Guess number one, the opening hymn is Blessed Assurance. Guess number two, the closing hymn is Praise Him, Jesus, our Blessed Redeemer. And guess number three, our opening chorus was Blessed Be the Lord God Almighty. I detect a theme here. And indeed, the theme is blessing. We've been talking about looking at the Bible as a whole unit, as one story, broken up into several chapters, rather than as 66 books, each of which are broken into chapters. We want to see if there's if there are themes that run through all of Scripture, and if maybe God is trying to tell us an epic story from Genesis to Revelation, rather than giving us like a bedtime book of short stories, which is how we often look at the Scriptures. We often pick a passage here, pick a story there, and we see them as separate events that aren't really linked together. They're just in the same book. But we've been looking at it a little bit differently. First, we looked at all of Scripture, and we divided it up into 26 segments of biblical history, some of which have yet to be fulfilled. And then a few weeks ago, we went back to the beginning and we started looking for themes that run through all of Scripture. These themes all have one thing in common. They are all things that were present in the Garden of Eden that were lost when Adam fell into sin. I don't really like using that expression, fell into sin, because it sounds like it was an accident. But when you look at the account of the fall, it wasn't really so much an accident. It was pretty deliberate. But when that happened, there were consequences. And this in itself is a message that I think our culture desperately needs to hear, that actions have consequences, that ideas have consequences. And that we can't just pick and choose whatever we want to believe, whatever we want to do, and then be surprised when things don't work out like we expected them to. Instead of asking ourselves if maybe we just made some wrong choices. That thought that just doesn't seem to occur to people these days. But anyway, we're looking at things that were present in the garden that were lost in the fall, but then which God periodically throughout the biblical story tried to restore to us in some measure at least. Maybe not as fully as it was present in the garden, but in some measure. And every time he tried to restore those qualities to us, We ended up being in the same position as Adam, where we had the blessing and we had a choice, and the choices we made destroyed the blessing. So we can't really say of Adam, it's not fair that I suffer because of his choice. If I had been in the garden, I would not have done what he did. When regularly, over and over in the Scripture, people are put in a position where they're almost back at Eden again with the same blessings that were present in the garden, and again and again and again they choose to reject the giver of the gift, sometimes just in order to try to hold on to the gift itself, sometimes because they think that they can provide better gifts than what God can provide. So first we saw the theme of life. We found out that life was present in the garden to a degree that we can't even imagine. A life that was vibrant, life that was just oozing out of everything in creation. And when Adam fell, that life was replaced by decay and death. And now someone once said that from the moment we are born, we're preparing to die, because decay and death are at work in all of creation. The second theme that we looked at was the theme of rest. How Adam and Eve, even though having work to do in the garden, had a sense of rest and peace, knowing that their work would be validated, that because of the work they did, they would have a meaningful and purposeful life, and knowing that there were periodic times when they would rest and their energy would be restored, and they would be, to use a modern word that's often overused, they would be recreated. They had periods of recreation that enabled them to restore the energy that they had used up during the day. Then we saw how that rest was ruined by the fall, even before they were confronted by God. Just the thought of being confronted by God robbed them of rest and peace. And yet, throughout the biblical record, God comes back to us and offers us his rest. And yet, regularly, we decide that his rest is not what we need. We need something different. And we spurn his rest, and we end up being more restless still. Last week, we looked at the theme of rule and dominion and saw how in the garden it was a good thing, but how since then it has become in many ways a bad thing, so that now even to speak of rule and dominion leaves people with a bad taste in their mouths. And yet God teaches us that when we follow his rules and his laws, rule itself becomes a blessing, when those who rule do it with a servant attitude rather than with the attitude that everybody should bow to them. Now this week we arrive at the fourth of the seven streams that we're going to be talking about. This is the stream of blessing. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were blessed. In fact, you don't have to read very far. In Genesis chapter 1, God blesses many things. He creates the animals and he blesses them and says, "Be fruitful and multiply." And then at the end of the chapter, God creates man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it." So at the very beginning, the first words out of God's mouth for Adam and Eve were words of blessing. Adam and Eve were blessed. But when they fell, basically what they did was they took the blessing that God offered them. And they said, "Will we be satisfied with this, or do we want something more?" For us, the question is, will we be satisfied with what God offers us, or do we want something more? But from God's perspective, the question we are asking is this: will I appreciate what God offers me, or will I settle for something less? Every time throughout the biblical record, when humanity in one way or another turned away from the blessing of God to pursue a different blessing, the other blessing that they were seeking was always something less than what God was offering. And yet to them, it seemed to be so much more. Now, unfortunately, it seems as though most people throughout their lives are in the position of Esau. You remember Esau, the twin brother of Jacob. You remember Jacob, who at his mother's bidding stole the blessing from his older brother. Older by, what, a few minutes, they were twins. Jacob stole the blessing. And when Esau came to get the blessing, Jacob said, Isaac, his father, said, "I'm sorry, I have already given the blessing to your brother." And Esau said, "Don't you have another blessing? Bless me, even me, my father." And so Esau speaks for all of humanity. We know somehow that there is a blessing that we have missed. And we long for it, and we cry out for it. But we cry out to people who can't bless us, and we run after things that can't satisfy. And like Esau, we wonder, why can't we too be blessed? As we seek to understand better this idea of blessing, I'd like to read the lesson this morning, which is from 1 John, the second chapter, starting at verse 20. In this passage, you're going to hear me mention a few times the word anointing. Whenever I say anointing, I want you to think blessing, because this is how blessings were conferred in biblical times, through anointing. The anointing of the priest, the anointing of a father to his household, the laying on of hands, however you would want to put it, was a way of conferring the blessing. And so John writes, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know the truth. I don't write to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Messiah. Such a man is an antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he has promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, so remain in him." So today we're talking about blessing. And I want to ask three questions about the subject of blessing. I want to ask, what is a blessing? What does it mean to be blessed? I want to ask, how can we be blessed? And I want to ask, why are we blessed? What, how, and why? I'm going to start off by asking, what is a blessing? I use that word a lot. Whenever someone sneezes, I say, "Bless you." Whenever we eat, I say a blessing. And I notice sometimes when we eat out that there are other people who do the same. And there are other people when I eat out who notice that we do it. And every once in a while someone will come up to our table and say, "I thought that was nice." And I'll say, "What's that? That you asked a blessing before you ate?" Many of us grew up with that, sort of let it slip along the wayside, along the way, and then when someone else does it, particularly in public, where most of us are rather hesitant about doing anything showy that might say to somebody that, you know, "Hey, here I am, I believe in God." When someone does do it, very often it has an unusual effect on people. Because most people, when they say a blessing at a meal, you know, you're at Wendy's, you sit down for a hamburger. I mean, it takes an awful lot for God to bless a Wendy's hamburger. But, and you're there ready to eat it. You just stop for a moment. Maybe you hold hands with each other. Bow your head. You're talking so low, someone has to really listen to overhear what you're saying, which, by the way, some people do. You know, wonder what they're talking about. And I notice people around me, when you do that, they just, all of a sudden, they lower their tone so they're not talking as loud. They kind of look over like, "I probably shouldn't be noticing that you're doing this." It just seems to change the tone of the atmosphere of the whole place. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. So I bless, and I use the word blessing quite often. I was told when my kids were smaller that one of the best things a father can do for his children, one of the most overlooked things today, but one of the most important things biblically, is to give a blessing. For a father to openly and directly say to his children, "I bless you," there's power in that. Why? What is it about a blessing? What is a blessing? There's a bumper sticker that says, "God bless everyone all the time, no exceptions." I hate that bumper sticker. It makes me feel guilty every time I say to someone, "Bless you." It makes me feel guilty every time I sing, "God bless America." Makes me appreciate the placard that's out in front of the house up here on Washington Avenue that says, "America, bless God," which I think is fitting and should be said more often. Is it wrong for me to ask God to bless this country? Is it wrong for me to pray for a blessing on someone in particular? Is it wrong for me to express love for somebody, or should I love everybody? All the same, no exceptions. Well, biblically we discover whatever the blessing is, it's not universal. God does not bless everyone all the time, no exceptions. He offers to, but he doesn't. What is a blessing? What do I mean when someone sneezes and I say, "God bless you"? What does it mean when someone says to me, "Why do they always look to me and say this? Would you say the blessing?" What's it mean to bless a meal? Well, the Greek word, New Testament here, for blessing, you may not like this. The New Testament word for blessing is eulogy. That's the Greek word behind the English word blessing. We hear eulogy, we think funeral service. But the word eulogy is actually made up of two parts. The first part means good. That's the EU. That means good. The last part, the logos, means word. And it literally means a good word. A blessing is a good word. Do you have a good word for us today? That's the same as asking, do you have a blessing? A blessing is when someone says something to someone else that's nice, that's pleasant, that's not filled with expectation, that's not filled with condemnation. It's a word that expresses a good relationship between the two. It's very hard for a father to bless a son when the son is being rebellious. It's very hard for one spouse to bless the other when there's hard feelings between them. When we say we're looking for a blessing, many times what we really mean is I'm looking to you to know whether you're satisfied with me. I'm looking to you to know whether you're happy that I'm here. I'm looking to you in order to get a sense of my own worth and value. I just want to be blessed. That is to say, I just want to know that someone else is blessed because I'm here. I want to know that my life has meaning, good purpose. That because of me, someone might say to God, "Thank you." That's what it means to be blessed. To seek a blessing is simply to be seeking some affirmation, especially from someone that you value. Why does it mean so much to a child to receive a blessing from their father? Because when a child, no matter how old he is, I don't care if my dad were living today and gave me a blessing, it would mean something to me. To be blessed by my father means my father is satisfied with all of the sacrifice that it took for him to get me to the point I am today. He's satisfied. To be blessed by my mother means, in a sense, I forgive you for all the pain you caused me when I was carrying you. When I was born, I weighed 10 pounds, 1 ounce. I kid my mom and tell her I've been a burden to her since before I was born, and she says, "You're darn right you are." To be blessed by my mother is her way of saying, "I forgive you for weighing 10 pounds when you were born. I forgive you for all the nights when you were crying and I had to get up out of a nice, comfortable, warm bed in order to feed you. I forgive you for all the times you were homesick from school with a diarrhea or with the flu and you were making a mess all over the place and I had to clean it up. I forgive you because you're worth it. You're worth it all." That's what it means to be blessed. It's a good word that says, "I'm happy with you. I'm satisfied with you." We often think of the blessings in terms of the Beatitudes, the blessings that Jesus spoke, blessed are the poor in spirit, the cover of the bulletin. Blessed are the pure in spirit, for they will see God. But actually, that passage, that verse doesn't belong on the cover of the bulletin, because that's not really the word blessing. That's a mistranslation. The Beatitudes, I hate to say this, but Robert Schuller had it right. The Beatitudes are the be happy attitudes. Because the word used there is a different word, and the word there means happy. Fortunate is a better word. You are fortunate if you mourn, because only those who mourn will be comforted. You are fortunate if you long for righteousness, because you will be satisfied. Those who don't care about righteousness will never find it, and they'll never know what true satisfaction can be. So it's a little bit different word than the word blessing. Blessing simply means, another way of looking at blessing, instead of hearing the word, see the picture, which is the Hebrew language is the language of picture. When I hear the word blessing, in terms especially of my relationship with God, I see an arm around my shoulder. Sometimes that armor is around my shoulder in fellowship. You're part of the family. Sometimes the arm is around my shoulder in comfort, because I need a shoulder to lean on. The Hebrew word for blessing is very similar to another Hebrew word for me. And the blessing in that context has to do with this. Where someone, particularly in the old courts, King Arthur, has done something of great valor and value, and he comes before the king and he kneels before the king, and the king takes his sword and he touches both of his shoulders. That's a blessing. We kneel before God in prayer. And in a sense, what we are doing is we are making ourselves available for him to bless us. So the word picture for blessing is kneel. Not as a servant, but as someone about to receive a blessing, a gift. It's important for us to realize that the word blessing in the Bible does not refer to what you might call a magic charm. We hear the word curse, and that's what we think of, someone casting a spell. The word blessing does not convey that. A blessing is not a magic spell that you pray to God for a blessing and God blesses you. Or you pray a blessing on someone and it makes it happen. The word does not carry that meaning in the Bible. It is not a command, so to speak, where when I say someone sneezes and I say, God bless you, I'm not commanding God to bless them. I am rather expressing my hope and my belief that God is blessing them. Particularly, since this is where the custom comes from, that God will bless them with better health and they won't end up catching the Black Death and dying. Because that's where the practice of saying God bless you or Gesundheit after someone sneezes came from. May God bless you so that this sneeze does not indicate that within 3 days you'll be dead of the plague. So we're asking for a blessing. We're not commanding. We're not making it happen. We are just expressing our desire that the person we are talking to may be blessed. I don't know if that helps us to understand what a blessing is, but it's the best I can do. The Bible talks a lot about blessings, and we can read many, many passages where the word blessing is used. But basically, this is what we're going to find out. That a blessing is not a prayer and it's not a prophecy. A blessing is simply a good word that says to the person being blessed, I'm glad I know you, and I'm glad that you know me. How then are we blessed? Particularly, how are we blessed by God? Well, here again, I have to repeat what I said earlier. Not everybody is blessed. And we are not blessed all the time, regardless of what the bumper sticker says. I know that blessings are not automatic because in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17, we have that verse that I alluded to earlier about Esau. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17, I'm going to start at verse 16. The writer of Hebrews is encouraging his people. He says, see that none of you... Well, I'm going to go back to verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. See, remember I said that blessing simply basically meant that we had a good relationship with each other. We were on solid footing with each other. Make every effort to live in peace with all people and to be holy. For without holiness, no one can see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitterness grows up and causes trouble that defiles many. See to it that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. How well we know, living in this world with fallen creatures, sometimes you want nothing more than desperately to be blessed by someone important to you, and the blessing never comes. How many people carry into adulthood the scars that come from wanting nothing more than to please a parent, but having the misfortune of having parents who don't know how to bless, and going through life thinking that you were a curse to your parents, going through life thinking that you were a burden they had to bear that brought them no satisfaction. What a burden that is to bear. How then are we to be blessed? Well, the writer of Hebrews suggests a few things. Dedicate yourself to holiness. Don't let bitterness rob you of your blessing. And don't live a life that basically says, I don't need God, which is what the word godless means. Then when you want the blessing, you're not going to find it. How can you be blessed by someone that you say you don't need in your life? And all blessings eventually come from God, all blessings that are worth being blessed with. There is another biblical command that tells us precisely how to be blessed, and this comes in 1 Peter chapter 3, since we're in Hebrews already. 1 Peter is only a couple books later. 1 Peter chapter 3, you won't like this one though, I'll tell you that right off the bat. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 reads, "Finally, all of you live in harmony with each other. Be sympathetic. Live as brothers. Be compassionate and humble." See, this is our side of the blessing equation. How do I live peacefully with somebody else? How do I live in harmony with someone else? By being sympathetic, by loving them as a brother or a sister, by being compassionate and humble. But here's the key. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. How do we inherit a blessing? By blessing others even when they curse us. That is forgiveness. When we learn to forgive, we open our hearts and our lives up to a blessing we can never know if we refuse to forgive. It rests with us. Will we be blessed? Will we forgive? If we can learn to forgive, we will be blessed. And we will be blessed to the degree that we forgive. It's easy for me to forgive some people because they haven't really done much to me. I forgive the Penguins for beating the Flyers the other day. I guess. I wouldn't, except that Megan happens to be friends with a Penguins fan. That makes it easier. But what do I care? For 55 years, I didn't care who won hockey games. And now the only reason I care is because someone I care about is rooting for one team. But now someone I care about is rooting for the other team, and now what do? Oh well. But to forgive someone who has personally hurt me gets harder and harder the deeper the pain goes. And God gives me a wonderful promise. He says, as deep as you're willing to experience pain in order to forgive, that is how deep your blessing will be if you do forgive. Don't ever think that God will ask of you more than He is willing to give. Whatever He asks of you, if you give it willingly, Jesus says you will receive a blessing in return, pressed down and overflowing. Don't ever think that God wants you to do more for you than He is willing, or more for Him than you are, than He is willing to do for you. How do you receive a blessing? The Bible tells us, the New Testament tells us, at least five times. How do you receive a blessing? By blessing those who curse you. By forgiving those who hurt you. What is blessing? Blessing is saying, for my part, I do not hold a grudge. We are on good standing with each other. What does forgiveness mean? Forgiveness means, for my part, I do not hold against you what you did, and I will not force you to repay as the law would require you to. And there's much more, of course, we could say about forgiveness. But the point is, forgiveness and blessing are the same. The expression of a healthy relationship between two people. In this life, it cannot happen without forgiveness. And you know what? When it comes to God and us, from God's side, it can't happen without forgiveness either. If He is not willing to forgive us, He will not bless us. If we are not willing to receive His forgiveness, we are not going to receive His blessing. which is simply to say, how do we receive a blessing? How can we be blessed? The blessing that we lost in the garden when Adam fell is restored to us when we are put in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. The world offers us many blessings. The world is willing to say in many ways, I'm happy with you, I can live with you. But there are usually strings attached. I can live with you as long as you don't talk about Jesus. I can get along with you as long as you're willing to do anything I want you to do without saying anything about whether it's right or wrong. I have many good things to offer you as long as you don't mind me pulling you away from God. And the blessings that the world offers, they're nice blessings. They're things that people can enjoy. But they're all temporary. And very often we discover only too late that the cost is greater than the blessing conferred. Maybe the first question we need to ask is, which is the most important blessing of all? As Jesus would say, seek first the kingdom, and then anything you need will be added to it. How can I be blessed? How can I receive the blessings that are really important? Get right with God through Jesus Christ. Come to know Him, come to worship Him, come to serve Him, come to love Him. Final question, why? Why would God bless me? Why would God bless anyone after we've spurned His blessing in the garden and basically said, God, take your blessing and shove it. I don't want it. I've got a world full of blessings here. I don't need yours. Why would God give us a blessing when time after time after time throughout the biblical record we do the same thing? God offers a blessing, new and packaged up nice with a pretty bow on the top. And we say, I don't want that blessing, give me door number one. I don't care what it is, I just don't want yours. Why would God bless us when, in the words of Job, there are people, nothing ever goes wrong in their lives, every investment they make pays double or triple. They're doing just fine, and what do they say to God? Leave me alone. I don't need you. I don't want you. Why would God want to bless a people like that? And the answer is simply that God enjoys blessing. God enjoys bringing people into a proper relationship with Him that their lives might open up to blessings unimagined. And He'll keep doing it, and He'll keep offering it. And we'll keep turning away, and we'll keep turning Him down. But every once in a while, someone comes along, maybe someone who's turned the blessing down 100 times before. Somehow something will be different. And this time, they'll see something they've never seen before. Or maybe this time they'll feel an emptiness deeper than any they've ever felt before, and they'll realize, as Peter said one time to Jesus, where else can I go to be blessed when You are the source of all blessing? Why are we blessed? Why does God offer us our blessing? Mainly because He loves us. He also offers us a blessing that we in turn might bless others. If God didn't have to bless me, but He chose to bless me, and in doing so chose to forgive things that I had done against Him, and even to bear the pain in Himself and the penalty, then how can I, having been blessed, do any less to those in my life? Because no one has done to me what I have done to God. No one has hurt me to the degree that I have hurt God. And no one has rejected me to the extent that I have rejected God. So I have been blessed, first of all, that I might be blessed. Secondly, that I might be a blessing to others. And our lesson today gives us a couple other reasons why we've been blessed. John says, you have an anointing, a blessing from the Holy One. And because of this blessing, you know the truth. That's why we are blessed. God blesses us so that our eyes might be open to the truth and that the truth might guide us through life. Why? It gets back to what we started with in the beginning. The choices we make have consequences. The more right choices we make, the more good consequences. The more wrong choices we make, the more bad consequences. The way to know the difference between a good choice and a bad choice is to know the truth. The way to know the truth is to be blessed, to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the blessing of the Spirit of God dwelling within us. This is what changed the world back in 1517 for Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation. Reading those words in Romans, it said, "Now the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us." The Holy Spirit is the blessing. His presence in us assures us of our salvation. His presence with us enables us to conquer sin. It gives us the wisdom to know which way to go. It gives us the power to do it. It gives us the comfort of God. Not something out there that we must receive, but something within us that we can be assured of. That's the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And because we have that Spirit in us, we have the truth. And so our lesson ended with these words, "As for you, the anointing that you received remains in you." You may turn away from it from time to time, you may deny it from time to time, but it's there. And all you have to do is turn back to God, forsake the things that draw you away from Him, and that Spirit that dwells within you, His presence will become more and more and more powerful in you until eventually it consumes you and you are totally His. As for that anointing that you received, it remains in you. And you don't need anyone to teach you. His anointing teaches you about all things. And that anointing is real, not counterfeit. So remain in Him. Have you been anointed by the Holy One? I have been. I can't speak in tongues. I can't go to the hospital, lay my hands on someone and have them get up and be healed. But I have that anointing. How do I know? Because I know that Jesus is the Son of God. And because I know that when Jesus walked this earth, He experienced everything in a very human way, just as I do. He's fully human. And He's fully God. I know it. I believe it. And sometimes, in my better moments, I live it. And when I don't live it, God lets me know. And He always lets me try again. That's the blessing. That's what it means to be blessed. It means I am not the accumulation of my mistakes. Rather, if anything, I am the accumulation of my successes. And my mistakes only become stepping stones that bring me into a deeper understanding of God's love and forgiveness. I've been blessed. I truly have. God has blessed me in many ways. And right here are about 45 of the ways that I've been blessed. But the greatest way of all that I have been blessed is that God has made me know the love He has for me. And He does the same for you. That blessing is in you. And that blessing will remain in you. And the only question is, will we remain in that blessing? Or will we seek some counterfeit blessing from somewhere else that could never do for us what God can do? We are blessed. May we live the blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank You for having blessed us more than we deserve. We thank You for blessings that remain in us and carry us through the times when we are less than faithful. And we are thankful that even when we are faithless, You remain faithful. We thank You for Your blessing, which is to say, we thank You for Yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.